Well, friends, you may remember that last November, in the Winter Outlook magazine, I asked for suggestions for preaching themes for 2013, for the weeks that we were not following the E100 syllabus or celebrating Easter. There were no suggestions at the time, although some months later, a series on Bible passages that may have inspired these stained glass windows around the church were suggested, and later still a suggestion of how St. Leonard's could become a prodigal-friendly church. Now, I think you would agree that both of these things would have made an interesting and challenging series of studies of God's Word. However, obviously things have taken another turn since then, and I won't have the opportunity to explore either of these themes with you. And in fact, this is my second last Sunday in the pulpit here, and there's little time to begin any series as we have done over previous summers. There is, however, still today and next Sunday, and so if you allow me, there's time for a mini-series. I have been wondering what to preach as I prepare to draw my ministry with you to its conclusion. And during the holiday club, I had the opportunity to talk with the team then, during our devotion time, about the call of God on your life. And for these two Sundays, I was thinking about God's call and about God's leading all of us into new things. But as I thought more about that, it just was not coming to me until I was on holiday these past 2 weeks. Over in Germany, we spent most of our time on a campsite, a very hot, dry, dusty campsite. And as we walked and as we cycled every day, you got very dusty feet and legs. And after swimming in the lake, we were covered in sand. And after the sand had dried and was wiped off feet and legs, there remained a residue of a lovely golden dust. It's quite a remarkable colour. I'd never seen my skin that colour before. And dust is something that I've been aware of every Sunday morning over these past 9 years or so, as it's been my privilege to lead you in worship and to teach from God's Word. For as I look around the church, way up in these difficult to reach places, there's some dust. And every week, no matter how well the church has been cleaned, there is a dust over in this corner that's fallen from the damaged stonework above the lectern. There is a dust. And so on these last two Sundays, when I have the opportunity to open God's Word with you, I like to think about dust. And did you know there are 109 different references to dust in God's Word? I had to look it up to find out that number. And of course, dust is part of God's Word from the creation story. Genesis 2:7, where we read, the Lord God formed man from the dust, right through to Revelation 18 and verse 19, where we read about the destruction of Babylon and all that appears to be worldly splendor. And we read that the people then, they will throw dust on their heads as a sign of repentance and mourning. And over the years, we have touched on many of the passages which refer to dust. But there are a few we have not looked at, and one is our reading this morning from Luke chapter 9, the first 6 verses. This is a passage that's repeated in Matthew and in Mark, and it's also echoed in the book of Acts. And of course, its Old Testament basis is Isaiah 52. Here in Luke 9, we have a very clear and simple passage. And in fact, every time we seek to communicate the gospel, the good news, to those who have yet to respond positively to the Lord Jesus, we should do it clearly and simply. That was the great strength of Dr. Billy Graham when he was carrying out his evangelistic ministry around the world. He had a very clear and simple presentation of the gospel. And in a similar way, just this week, we have heard clear and simple words from Monsignor Leo Cushley, the Archbishop Designate for St. Andrews and Edinburgh and the Roman Catholic Church. He said, during the press conference announcing his appointment, my first task is to preach the good news. Christ crucified and risen from the dead, to confirm my brother priests in their Catholic faith and ministry, and to be a loving, simple, wise shepherd to the flock that has been entrusted to me. The clear and simple message. And the clear and simple presentation of the good news is the kind of message that our fast-paced society so needs to hear today. And in our gospel passage this morning, as Gordon read some moments ago, we hear Jesus, who is teaching his disciples to keep it simple by trusting in God. The old medieval Saint Thomas a Kempis wrote, "By two wings man is lifted from the things of earth, simplicity and purity." And when you look at the lifestyle of Jesus, you learn that Jesus was the master of simplicity. He could take the very complex and boil it down to a story or a phrase or a word. And in this passage that we're reading this morning, Jesus gives his disciples some very simple instructions. Then he called his 12 disciples together. He gave them power and authority over all demons and to cure sicknesses. He sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. And he said to them, "Take nothing with you. Nothing for the journey, neither staff, nor bag, nor bread, nor money. And do not have two tunics. Whatever house you enter, stay there. And depart from there. Whoever won't receive you when you go out that city, shake the dust, the very dust from your feet as a testimony against them." And so the 12 disciples left Jesus. They departed from him. They went through the towns. They preached the gospel, the good news. They healed everywhere. It's remarkable. An amazing ministry, but a very simple ministry too. Preaching the good news, healing the sick. And in this short series that we'll base around this passage and this teaching of Jesus, we'll discover four ways that Jesus says we can serve simply as disciples of Jesus. This morning I want to look at the first two. And firstly, in this passage in Luke's Gospel, what we discover is that we have a simple authority for our mission. That is Jesus Christ himself. You see, Jesus calls his disciples together and he gives them some simple instructions as he sends them out to do ministry. He sends them with power and authority. And Jesus Christ himself is our authority. Jesus Christ himself is our power for our mission. In Matthew's Gospel, in chapter 28 of Matthew, we read Jesus saying these things. "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." You see, as the risen Son of God, Jesus has authority in heaven and on earth. And he sends his followers out with that same authority. There is only one reason for our mission: Jesus Christ. We are not here on our own agenda or for our own purposes. We are here to be about Jesus' mission and Jesus' purposes. You know, we are so privileged to live in a country where we still enjoy religious freedom. But our authority for our ministry and for our mission does not come from our country. It does not come from our government. It does not come from the laws of the land. It comes purely and simply from Jesus Christ, the Son of God. That's where we get our authority. It's the same power and authority that all believers enjoy, no matter what earthly governments they live under. We have authority that comes from the Son of God himself. So that's our first thing that we see in this passage. And then secondly, as we look at what Jesus says, we hear Jesus speak and we see him give his disciples a very simple approach to ministry. He says, go and heal. Go and preach the good news. As he sent these 12 men out on their first mission, he told them to concentrate not on a myriad of different things, but on just two things. Sometimes I think in church we're so busy that we lose sight of where we're really going, but if we were to listen to Jesus, he says, keep it simple. And he gives his disciples two instructions. They're to go out and heal sick people. And they're to go out and preach the good news. You see, Jesus was simply telling them to do what they had seen him doing. He had been going to where people were, and he was touching them and teaching them. And in Matthew's account of this story, before Jesus sends out the 12, he summarizes what Jesus has been doing. Matthew says, then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel about the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them because they were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd. And then he said to his disciples, the harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. And therefore pray that the Lord of the harvest would send out laborers into his harvest. Jesus went about preaching the good news of the kingdom and healing hurting people. And now Jesus wants his followers to do the same kind of ministry that he does. Go and preach and heal. He sends them to help hurting people and to proclaim the good news. My friends, that is our ministry as well. We must go, preach, and heal. I was at a meeting this week when someone suggested that there was too much focus on going, and that God could also bring people into our churches. But you know, as I read the scripture, I don't see Jesus ever setting up a ministry compound and requiring people to come to where he was. His ministry was not building focused, it was people focused. He was constantly walking around the region, going out to where the people were. And our call is to go out as well. Jesus did not have a field of dreams mentality. Build it and they will come. Some people think that all we have to do is build a church building and put all the most modern stuff in it and get the layout right and people will just flock in. But that is not Jesus' method of ministry. He says, go, go. Now I'm glad that here at St. Leonard's we have a nice building in which to gather for worship and fellowship, for prayer and for Bible study, but just maintaining a building is not a ministry. We have to go to where the hurting people are and tell them all about Jesus. And if we don't do that, then we have missed Jesus' mission. God sent Jesus into this world, and Jesus sends us out into this world. You know, the night before Jesus was crucified, he prayed these words concerning you and me. He said, Father, as you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. You see, the twofold task of a disciple is simple. We are to preach and we are to heal. Jesus didn't give us four laws or 12 steps or 18 tasks. He simply said, go to where the hurting people are and help them and tell them that I love them. And surely our mission is to go where the people are, showing them the love of Jesus by what we do and what we say. You know, we will only grow into Christian maturity, and our church will only grow numerically when we take seriously the divine commands to go and make disciples. That's not just the job of the minister, nor is it even just the job of the elders. It's job number one for every disciple of Jesus. It's why the Church of Scotland has a parish system and a commitment to a territorial ministry covering the whole of Scotland and its people. For every one of us, minister, elder, member, is to go to where people are and show them the love of Jesus by what we do and what we say. We'll look at the other two simple commands of Jesus next time, but for now, let's just come before God in prayer.